Test. Test. Call this regular meeting of the Vanderbilt County Board of Supervisors to order. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go ahead and move. Well, before we go into the county administrator's report, we do have a special presentation. I'd like to invite Mr. Coleman, Mr. Bradley, and Mr. and Mrs. Goyne. All right, moving on to the county administrator's report, Mr. Nichols.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, thank you for your time. The Safe Harbor for Good Neighbor Grant, as you've heard about before, a number of people worked really hard under the auspices of the Lake Montello Volunteer Fire Rescue. It had received this grant, $25,000 grant for countywide training and retention of fire rescue volunteers. So there's a good group working on this, and one of their first efforts is getting a series of trainings set up, ready to go for county residents. And here's what we'll see in the paper shortly. An example of what Ms. Wilkins put together with that team, and kind of mimicking the State Farm Good Neighbors logo thing. But there's a lot of new trainings coming: emergency medical responder, emergency medical technician training, emergency vehicle operator course training, and just a good quick way to connect with what volunteer opportunities there are for fire and rescue personnel in our county, whether you're doing it as an administrative person, helping them out with a book, or whether you're going to be on the back of a rig or on the back of a fire truck. And so the teams put that together, led by assistance with Mrs. Wilkins, and we're doing now. We'll get more volunteers back into our system and kind of keep it on a good cycle. But $25,000 is going to be very useful in providing some of the training opportunities for residents. In the spring, they're also going to, Ms. Wilkins is also putting together just a look at fire and rescue, really to show people the full range of opportunities that you can volunteer with, besides the training classes that are in there. So this class will be, in some ways, similar to what the sheriff is doing with his citizens law enforcement class. This will be really kind of a citizens fire and rescue class to tell citizens about what times and things happen in the emergency services world, what types of opportunities are available there, and how we work with other agencies around us. And so that class will be planned for this coming spring. And at the end of the class, the participants will also be able to get certified in CPR if they desire. The annual library book sale went really well. Ms. Hoffman reported that the volunteers and public book staff did a great job after putting everything back together, cleaning up, and made another good cleanup of lots of books going to the families that didn't want them, and some good money for the library for Humana County as well. Lake Rescue, just wanted to let you know that the new ambulance that we approved before is coming in now, number 554, and it's pretty close to being going online. They're just doing the final prep for that and waiting for the final inspection, and they appreciate the board support in getting that new ambulance on and ready to go for servicing the community.
This is ideally the one that's replaced one that was being put together with duct tape.
Duct tape one is probably still good. It's the one without the duct tape. I'm not sure which one this replacement is, but truly, this is part of the ongoing replacement program. And staying up with that and not getting to the duct tape stage is a really good idea. They're expensive, and there's nothing cheap about emergency vehicles or rescue vehicles or police vehicles, but it's essential in our community, and so they were really appreciative of this new rig being on board. 14th Sanitary District, is we're going to have a town hall meeting, an area town hall meeting on December 12th. It'll be in the paper and on the fan mail and on the website. But the December 12th at 7 p.m. at the community center will talk about the 14th Sanitary District and the potential way ahead and what we may need to do to work with that district to make sure it stays viable in the future. But we want to be able to get citizens and put the feedback in. So after your December 4th work session, we'll talk a little bit about this too. And last night's FUSD meeting, we'll then be able to talk to the citizens and talk about the sanitary district and what updates and changes we may need to make in the future to make sure it's viable. So the Pleasant Grove House update, I was going to do it at this meeting, but we've got another part of a building, and we're waiting for the final on that. So I'll bring the request to you for funding on December 4th for that project, the update on the funding. What we were sitting at 170, and that will be modified a little bit because of the because of some structural beams in both doors, and we're trying to clarify the extent of that problem in that house. So, I want to follow up on the coyote ordinance. We've talked about that before. Did you still want to have the sense of the board? Do you want us to go through and bring an ordinance to the board for approval, or we discussed it?
I believe the way that the conversation was left off is that a blanket sort of, public ordinance may not necessarily have been the best solution for going after coyotes, but nonetheless.
And that's what Mr.
Payne's already chimed in, and I think we're of the same mind on this, but there are certain best practices that could be implemented, so county staff is going to come back to the board with those best practices and make a recommendation. And obviously, we're in the middle of hunting season, and it's always open season on coyotes, but being able to mitigate that to some degree, or having some sort of mitigation in place would be quite helpful, something that's actually going to reduce coyote populations rather than...
DGIF has actually got some published recommendations.
Okay. So I think we're just waiting on something for the recommendation to be done.
Okay. And then I'm going to be out for procedure tomorrow and Friday, and then the 3 days next week. It's Thanksgiving holidays, so I figured it'd be a good time to be out for a few days. Mr. Pavlos will be covering. makes more sense to me because that curve wouldn't lend itself to those kind of signs. There are curves between my house between here and my house on Highway 53 that don't lend themselves to the signs at all. You could be blindfolded. I still make the routes there, but they have some there too. So I'm not sure what the rhyme or reason is. Almost they got them through on Bay Day, but and that's all I have.
Questions for the county administrator? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and go into our first round of public comment. And remember, please, obviously, if you're here on topic of the public hearing, and you'd like to speak on that, please keep your comments to the public hearing. If you're speaking on anything else but the public hearings that are on the agenda, obviously, you're free to address the board. Please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this point in time? Seeing none, we will close the first round of public comment. Moving on to tab K. Public hearing of ZMP 1203 Sycamore Square LLC proper amendment. Mr. Tugwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, the board. This is ZMP 1203 proper amendment. Request from Southern Development to amend proper number 8 of the original zoning case ZMP 0432 approved back in 2005. And it was approved in February 2005. R3 with proffers. October 2010, there was a proffer request for the law. That request was denied. At that time, they were requesting modification of property 8 and 15. This go around was proffer number 8. Location number to you is 3 contiguous parcels, 13, 14, 14 city. So the existing property means the residential development shall be restricted in ownership, rental, lease, et cetera, the initial age 55 and above, which are reported as covenant restriction for the community. So the applicant is proposing to strike the existing property and seek approval for the proposed property to seek approval. I think the fundamental difference may be that at least 80% occupied units shall be occupied by at least one person who takes the property. And then number 3, the second sentence there, there shall be clear that covenant restriction for the community, which is part of the original property. So. Now, Chris, the plan does encourage a mixture of uses and investments of dwelling types that should sort of provide income. This is about Anthony and planning area. Inclusion is requested to appear to change what locality provided certain age groups that may have been designed to use the property. Planning Commission did consider this back in July at their meetings. There was discussion with regard to the enforceability of the residential units and how this property was written. The planning staff's responsibility to cooperate with this. After discussion, the planning commission did recommend approval of the property by vote of 5-0. With that, I would ask if you have any other questions, Mr. Armstrong.
Questions, Mr. Tucker? No. Okay. Thank you very much. We will go ahead and open up the public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak to the topic, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes. Direct to the board on topic. Anyone wishing to address the board? Hearing none, go ahead and bring it back to the board for conversation. Any comments, questions, concerns, ideas?
My major concern on it is the 80% section number 2. And that also ties into number 1, which is shall be intended and designed for, which is ambiguous in its wording. And when you get to the 80%, the first go-round of sales is controllable to that 80% number. Now, 10 years down the road or 7 years down the road, there's when you resell your property, your neighbor may be restricted to only selling to someone 55 years or over, because, and then he sells, which opens up the 80% to your next door neighbor being able to sell someone 23 years old. It's a messy situation when we approve a proffer like this. It is uncontrollable, and that was brought up at the Planning Commission discussion, because once you get into the years, you don't know what that number is anymore.
Mr. Payne, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that the reason why the 80% rule is there is, doesn't that conform to state code? Isn't there something along the lines of...
I think it's designed to come to federal.
Correct. And I think that's why that language is included.
Mr. Olmberg, I agree with you that these are very different. I want you to know I speak with respect to somebody who's 55.
Well, I'm not quite there, right?
My concern with this is if the landowner wants to impose these things and then enforce them under federal law, state law, then I don't know that there's any problem with it. I'm going to tell you that it's unlawful. My concern with this, I don't want to have a zoning administrator have to run around and check people's birth certificates.
Right.
And I don't think this is required. So, circumstance that you hypothesized, which I think is entirely realistic, if that were to occur, it's simply not the county's property.
Are there localities that have the zoning administrators enforcing such properties or in such development?
This property doesn't contemplate the zoning administrator enforcing. That's why I don't have a problem. Okay.
But if you go back to through history, this was approved as 55 and over, and was attempted to take that off several years ago, and it was disapproved by the board at that time.
I think that's the same thing,
man. Exactly. I mean, this is a repeat of with the change of a few words in sections 1 and 2 from the 1-2 years ago. Not what we're doing with.
Yeah.
That's not anything to do with it.
Motion's made by Mr. Chesser, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Chair
passes 4-1. All in favor, dissenting. Thank you. Moving on to tap LSUP 1304, Edgar just boiled commercial kettles. Talk about that. Analysis, you should intend to change the character of the established pattern of the area of the community. It's an 18x24 existing building that would house initially house 9 dogs, and some of the dogs may be housed in the basic area of the lower level of the main house. So this may be sort of equal to a attached building, attached garage. Back to the October 23rd Planning Commission meeting, the Commission did add two conditions with regard to the rule continuation. They are planning, the applicants are planning sound insulation in the exterior walls, and given the cap of the number of dogs that the Commission did recommend approval for the reserve plan. This is a special use permit request for the permit number 21, amendment of the bill from Route 250. And the board may want to consider additional traffic in this property to release us. Staff's not aware of any additional consistent facts to be associated with the county. We did receive one call from a neighbor. I believe that one of the adjacent properties that also comes to the community for sale. Any immediate questions for Mr. Tucker?
No.
Thank you, sir. Again, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing for SUP 1304. Again, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic of order. Anyone wish to speak? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and close that round of public hearing. Are there any comments from the board for additional questions?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve SUP 13.04. A special use permit request to allow for a commercial kennel pursuant to Fluvanna County Code 22-4-2.2 with respect to a 4.067 acres, tax map 4, section 41, parcel 3, subject to the conditions listed in the staff report.
Could we put in there 8 conditions listed in the staff report? Would that be all right?
Sure. All 8 conditions listed in the staff report.
That's probably
so done.
Accepted. Is there a second? Second. Motion is made by Mr. Allenbrook, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Moving go to tab M, SUP 1305, Roy L. Roberts, commercial greenhouse.
Sir, SUP 1305 is a special meeting request from Mr. Roberts to relocate the forest business. Jefferson Center shopping center, Route 53, to the residents on Route 53, 3.581 acres. Yes, 36 by 36 horse farm. There's plans to operate a forest business. Approximately 300 feet from the near residence. And part of the stream access in that shape. Planning Commission did recommend approval back on the meeting, so there's no problems there. Again, this request is a special permission for commercial greenhouse forest and cells. Yes. Commercial greenhouse floor structure with the minimum visible property degree in the nearest dwelling, which is about 300 feet away. And out of operation occurs from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the new channel. And we're talking to 2 weeks ago. Before being considered, the food is just an amount of property.
Questions, Mr. President?
Is that the forest located next to Papa John's?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any further questions, Mr. Tugwell, at this point in time? Thank you, Mr. Tugwell. We'll go ahead and open up the public hearing again. Please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic and address to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board on this topic? Close the public hearing on that. Any further questions for Mr. Tugwell? We have a motion.
Yes. I'm going to ask. I move that the Board of Supervisors approve the special use permit 1305, and I'm going to add this, to allow for a commercial greenhouse and floors with respect to 3.581 acres of tax map 29, section 8, partial 89, with the eight conditions as described in the tax report.
Sir, second.
Second.
Motion is made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Allenbrook. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, 5-0. Moving on to tab MC, SUP 1306, Griffin's Auto Repair Services Establishment.
Just one note about the motion, though, too, since you pointed out Mr. Weaver and because of the conditions, what we'll do is Mr. Weaver, sometime back, had actually created a list of sample motions.
Right.
So staff can do a special use document. We'll just update these within any SUP list of the purposes and also the number of amendments. We'll make that standard in the motion so it's in there.
I think that's a good idea.
Mr. Weaver.
We have a motion.
You want to have a motion? Get ready for one here. We're going to listen to the car repair.
Yeah, 1306, Mr.
Thank you.
planning commission did recommend approval 5-0 back in October, their meeting. And just approve the request is to allow an automotive repair service establishment. First condition of the repair work would occur inside of the 3128 building. Garage is not visible to any of the neighbors. And we're able to consider potential adverse impacts, including the release of the vibration.
Any questions for Mr. Tugwell? Thank you, Mr. Tugwell. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and enter the public hearing for SUP 1306. Again, please remember to keep your comments for 5 minutes on topic and address the board. Anyone wishing to address the board? We close that public hearing. Any further questions for Mr. Tugwell? We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board supervisor approve special condition 1306 for an automotive repair service with respect to Connecticut Section Map 16, Section 14, Article 4, with the 11 conditions as described in the staff report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by everyone, but we'll give it to Mrs. Booker this time. All in favor? Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Tab M, SUP 1307, Brad Kennedy Auto Repair Services Establishment. Mr. Tugwell.
Sir, this is the request of SUP 1307. This is also a request for the repair establishment. And this property is taken from the lower 55 acres. Here photograph. This building, you can see the red dot is the building, and as you can see, it's where I'm building on the state. This is the entrance to the site. Again, this is an existing garage, located on 25 acres, and it's not built for 2 acres. It doesn't appear that we're proposing intrusions into the neighbors.
Any questions for Mr. Tugwell? Mr. Tugwell, hearing none, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing for SUP 1307. Again, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes. A topic to address the board. Anyone wishing to address the board? And we'll close that round of public hearing as well. Any further questions for Mr. Tugwell? We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board supervisors approve special use permit 1307 for an automotive repair service that with respect to 25.42 acres of tax map, 29, section 8, parcel 12, with the 10 conditions as described in the tax report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Allenbrock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to tab O, CPO 1301, Savannah County Amendment Infrastructure and Land Use Chapter. Mr. Vincent.
Chairman, members of the board, I present to you on CPA 1301, an amendment to the comprehensive plan chapters, land use and infrastructure. First, a quick overview. Beginning March 19, 2013, Louisa and
County Board of Supervisors approves the interjurisdictional agreement on the James River Water Authority pipeline. The board also directs the Planning Commission to initiate related CPA 1301, the comprehensive plan amendment. On October 2nd, the board ratifies a resolution initiating the comprehensive plan amendment to the infrastructure and land use chapters, and scheduled a public hearing for October 23rd for the Planning Commission to consider and make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. On October 23rd, 2013, the Planning Commission had a public hearing at which they recommended approval of CPA 1301 to the Board of Supervisors with a vote of 4-1. Virginia Code requires the locality's comprehensive plan to include the location, character, and extent of new features, including utilities. The intent of CPA 1301 is to describe the location, nature, and extent of the James River Water Authority. This includes a map of the proposed infrastructure. This is the text from the land use chapter that is being changed. The text that you see struck through was strategy 8 of goal 2, and it was replaced by discourage public and central potable water and sewer connections to residential, commercial, and industrial uses in the rural preservation area. And the important parts to note there would be the addition of the word potable, which allows the raw water to run through without a conflict, and the specification of residential, commercial, and industrial uses in the which ideally would discourage growth in those areas, but would still allow, for example, a school to function there with potable water. Moving on to the infrastructure section, the only change to this section is the addition of the word county in the county's water system, which refers to the Lake Monticello community's water system. The importance there is that this water pipeline is owned by JRWA, not by the county specifically. So that eliminates any potential conflict of interest there. These two paragraphs were added in their entirety, and they describe the location, nature, and extent of the water pipeline. Louisiana's 2013 agreement with Louisiana County through the jointly held with JRWA, created under the Virginia Water and Waste Authorities Act, will result in a pipeline which draws water from the James River near Columbia on Louisiana's southern boundary for transmittal to Louisiana County on Louisiana's northern boundary. The water line will closely follow the existing right-of-way of the Columbia Gas Line. Louisiana County may, at future points, connect to the raw water line with T-connections for distribution of water to the community planning areas, the CPAs. However, any water transmitted through Louisiana's rural preservation districts should be raw, non-potable water, which can be treated for consumption at the CPAs. This measure is intended to mitigate the development pressures to rural areas generally associated with access to potable water. And the final sentence there is the most important one that went through a few changes. It does not say that it will prevent development pressures because that, as was pointed out, the Planning Commission overstates it, but it's intended to mitigate the pressures of development in those areas. And then finally, this is the proposed map which will be added, showing on the showing on the right hand side the location and extent of the proposed infrastructure. Staff analysis: the comprehensive plan may be amended at the discretion of the Board of Supervisors, and since its adoption in 2009, the comprehensive plan has been adopted each year for a total of 4 times.
Amended.
I'm sorry?
Amended.
The comprehensive plan describes 5 criteria that should be considered when evaluating a proposed amendment. The most relevant of these criteria is 3, conditions have changed substantially since the last comprehensive plan update. However, one of your main arguments is that criteria 1 and criteria 5 also apply. The request is a creative idea concept that will benefit the community and was unforeseen at the time. And the amendment will effectively aid in the implementation of other goals
and concluded with the planning commission's findings. At its public hearing, the planning commission recommends an approval of CPA 1301 to board of supervisors with a vote of 4-1. The planning commission echoed citizens' questions as to whether connections would likely occur in the rural preservation areas, and if this was contrary to the elements of the comprehensive plan, this led in part to the changing of some of the text in the amendment to make that more certain. The planning commission asked if a pipeline would have been better sited along Route 15, thereby asking more closely to 14 and all our CPAs. However, it was explained that it would still likely have to pass through rural preservation areas regardless of where it starts and where it ends. The planning commission questioned the use of the term potable in the comprehensive plan amendment. Finally, the planning commission desired an opportunity to provide input earlier in the decision-making process.
Questions from Mr. Lindsay?
That last one that the planning commissioner said, the planning commission desired an opportunity to provide input earlier.
That was clearly
a
matter of
time
because the
oh,
things
moved
pretty quickly.
Oh, I see. That would talk about the time they had.
The time
to
talk about this because they weren't passing it in the discussion in February when we started talking to the Louisa board.
Right.
And subsequently in the summer, they kind of got a drop down in September, October, but it was a matter of time with a lot of things going on. And I don't know there was any other way to do that unless you delayed your action.
Right.
But I had that concern also.
And would their decision of things been any different, or do they think they did a good job the time they had? Or
it didn't appear to me as
that they didn't.
The discussion with their staff was there, but it didn't appear to me that there needed to be much more discussion other than that. They clearly had similar questions and discussion that you all had had when we first talked about it from February forward.
Well,
any further discussion?
No.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and open it up for a public hearing. Again, please remember to keep your comments within 5 minutes on topic and address the board. Anyone wishing to address the board? Seeing none. Close that right of public hearing. Are there any further questions for Mr. Lindsay? Hearing none, we'll have a motion.
No, we can have discussion.
Then we'll go right back to the discussion. We'll now offer it the first time, the second time. Mr. Holbrook, discussion.
Can we have discussion on this before?
Mr. Holbrook would like to ask questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
let me just say, as a matter of procedure, perfectly appropriate to have a motion on the floor and then discuss.
As a matter of fact, that's the way it's supposed to be, but we have to leave it backwards.
But either way, I think it's okay, but that's the more conventional way of being having a motion on the floor.
Yes, it would. Why is it, how long has Fluvanna County done it backwards?
How long have I been here?
I'll get the next chairman to fix it.
I will tell you that every local government in this area with which I've been associated with the same thing.
Never seen that in Northern Virginia or Fredericksburg.
They're doing it the way we're doing it.
Let's do the motion before I forget.
Yes, sir. Holbrook, you had a comment. No, sir. We're going to address your comments.
I'm the only one with comments.
Speak. You have the floor.
I'm still against changing our comprehensive plan to suit another county solely for their purposes and to carry it. And I'll stay on the comprehensive plan and not get into the exorbitant costs that this has cost in our county, but it's affecting the same property owners, I believe it was 84 of them, for the fourth time in taking their land for public use by eminent domain, fourth time, and I think that was improper, and very little discussion on it as far as notifying these 84 property owners. I believe they have never been notified that this is happening. And to this date, they haven't been notified. So they don't know what's going on. If they don't jump on our website, they don't have a clue that their land's being taken again. And bottom line is they don't have a clue that we're taking their land again. That's a fact. I wasn't asking for... I'm just making a statement here. I wasn't looking for a rebuttal to what I'm saying. Thank you. Those factors, I mean, that's huge. And that's affecting 84 property owners in this county. And we're sitting here not even thinking about it and hurrying up what's going to be a 4-1 vote on something that's very serious and costing this county $5 or $6 million at the end of the day. The price keeps going up every week. We don't even know what the price is. Tonight, we're going to be fishing, and we're going to be handing out more money to get this thing rolling. And it has no benefit to this county whatsoever. Changing the comprehensive plan to suit another county, I just think it's dead wrong. But, like I said, I'm wasting my good breath on this one.
No, so. I agree with you on the basic question.
Thank you, sir.
I'm certainly not going to.
I would argue that it's a little bit different than that. The fact of the matter is that we have this company to take any action to do anything with James River. We could probably not do anything at all unless this was in front of us and this came in front of us. But this is the catalyst for us to take some action, to bring the border up, and also make it more available. Is part of our permit. We don't. It gives us a chance to move forward and gets us out of the dirt, picks us head out of the sand to do something with the James River. The way I see it, the two people who would vote against this would not vote for it at any time. It's a matter of making an investment to bring water to the county in the short term and long term. So we can wring our hands about it going through rural preservation. Well, it's going to, we have to go through rural preservation if we went up 15. The thing is, it's in front of us. We should take the chance, take hold of this, and move forward with it. And it shouldn't be that we stop just putting the TV structure in place, that we actually plan to put the rest of the line in place to make Fort Union whole and the lower part of the county whole.
The thing is, with that particular T, we may not turn it on for 10, 15 years. I mean, it could be far in the future. But, you know, I've just gone back and just been thinking so hard about where we have come from with the whole water issue. Even with this one, inter-jurisdictional thing, we had that. We had the public hearing. We had people to come and say, "Don't do it." And we say things like, "We're going to make Louisa economic development grow." We're already doing a lot of that. Every time we go in Walmart's and go over to Lowe's and all those, and now they got an automobile place. I don't have to go to Buckingham. I don't have to go to Charlottesville. We're already doing that. And I view Louisa as our neighbor. And if they're going to do what they have to do, we need to stop looking at them and do what we need to do. We started in 2003 with an MOU with Louisa. We brushed it off, went at it again. People came to us again, don't do it, don't do this. We even had court cases and spent $50,000 to $75,000 of taxpayers' money to try to fight that. And so now we're every move we make, it's something that's not right. Now we do a water citizens committee, and the most expensive way to get water is coming up 15. $56 million, and that was done in 2010 when they came up with that. The most inexpensive one was get water from Aqua and doing something on our own. So, you know, we've done that, and it's been, people say it's been 52 years. I know it's been 36 years that we have talked about water and we have knocked up against, and every time I hear someone say to me, Moselle, why don't we have economic development? Why don't we have, and they don't understand, we don't have water, we don't have sewage. That's why we don't have it. Well, why don't we do it? I don't see why we can't just, you know, just go out here and get some water. So it's time for us to prepare and move forward.
They requested then two chapters of the Hunter County Property Plan to reflect the location of the tent and make it a change for water regarding water pipeline called by the jurisdictional agreement between the county.
I second the motion.
Motion made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair votes aye. Passes 3-2. Overbrook and Weaver. Moving on to tab P, James River Water Authority funding request, Mr. Nick.
Mr. Chairman, I had mentioned this at a couple of meetings that we'd be coming forward from the James River Water Authority Board to request seed money, if you will, and startup money to be able to do the planning process to get the permit moved from the Freedom of Water Area to Columbia and to start the initial engineering review. For the standard legal fees that go with the incorporated board. The Louisa County Water Authority approved a resolution at our last meeting requesting funds from both counties, $25,000 from either county, from both counties, to provide that initial startup money for the Denver Water Authority. The Louisa County Board approved on Monday night, their board meeting approved a $25,000 contribution from Louisa County, and this request is to do the same from our county to provide that initial dollars to be able to get contractors to do the permit requirement to pay legal fees and to begin the initial engineering to establish that James River Water Authority intake and pipeline and then do the adjacent structure for as you go to the county.
Questions for Ms. Nichols?
Hearing none, please move on to the motion.
I just want to say one thing about this. I am going to approve this. The reason that, even though I don't basically approve the whole concept, I think we need all the information that we can get. And I want the board, when they do make a decision, that they do have all that information. And we're not going to get it unless we go and approve this. So, you know, we've made mistakes in the past of not having all the information. And I don't want to see us make mistakes.
Is that going to be all the fees they need? It says cover initial. It's just, do we know the number?
We do not know the number, Mr. Olbrich. It clearly will be a number different than this over time. It may be less than the $50,000 that they need as far as initial money for the two counties. It may be more, but we have to have some ability to build from the JRW board to pay the regular legal fees for the lawyers who attend the meetings. We have to be able to have the contractor start the process and work with the Department of Environmental Quality to write the permit to move it from Columbia, from Bremo to Columbia. And so down the line, eventually, there won't be money requests coming to the board because the JRW will be its own constituted authority with you know, and already taken on debt to build the pipeline as the money. What will happen after that to pay for it will be that there'll be a service agreement. interest. I doubt if it's the last, but I'm hoping that we won't have to come back and nickel and dime with this. We will have this, because the initial process started, so we can do the financing for the project.
Chair, I move the board supervisors to approve funding for the Chesapeake Water Authority in an amount of $25,000 to cover initial legal, administrative, and engineering costs. With such money to be transferred from the FY14 Board Supervisors contingency.
Your second.
Second.
I was hoping for a second.
Mr. Chester, seconded by Mrs. Booker, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No.
Chair votes aye, passes 4-1, on the dissenting. We have no presentations before the board. We do have a consent agenda of tab Q, minutes of November 6, 2013, tab R, accounts payable, and tab S, appointment of acting planning and zoning administrator. I would imagine we do have questions on tab R. Mr. Wheeler.
I do have a few questions. We're going to start on page 1. Let's start
page 1.
Right from the beginning.
Sort of.
I'm sort of curious on page 1, number 40, not the shredding machine. Notice that's $50, but lease rent. Are we not buying one, or are we actually renting it?
Have a service that comes and picks up our paper, shreds it on site, and takes it away. So we have big bins in the various offices, treasurer's office, commissioner's, sheriff's, and the finance department. And so it's a monthly service. They come once a month, shred the paper, and take it. So we don't have to buy
it. Is it a volume or something? It's a standard flat fee, $50 for 3 of them. The trash can you have at home, you put up 3 to 65 gallon. But like that, they're padlocked and they have a slot, you know, cut on top of them. So we just take whatever paper needs to be shredded, you put it in there, and it's a flat fee of $50 a month for those 3 containers.
But that
additional containers are $15 a month, so it depends on whose bill it's on, because we split the bills up to various departments.
So it's $50 for each one?
$50 for 3, the first 3. Then after that, there's an additional $15 charge per container. So some departments only have a $15 charge. The county administrator's got that bulk charge for the ones that are done in our building.
So that sort of explains on number 78, that shredding, which is $15, the treasure to do.
That's right.
That's in the long run, that saves soil and runoff, and it is a good idea. It doesn't sound like
we had special dirt the last time you called.
You got to have special dirt.
Yeah.
You don't want bounce.
Yeah.
You don't want bad bounces. That's feeds into dental care.
We have special players on that.
That's right.
I guess I'm wondering about 260A.
move.
Carpeting, strip and wax sheriff's office for $2,400. I'm just sort of curious, can we do some of that ourselves with the personnel that we have? And what
this was carpeting? So the floors. So the floors in the holding cells needed waxing.
No, I just think some of these things.
Okay. All right.
Well, he said it needed to be done in a hurry. Maybe that's the reason.
Well, it needs to be done with minimum downtime for them. We do use our own personnel in say that in the summer hasn't been worse for the day, but the sheriff's office is kind of putting decisions sort of set pace, and we really have the schedule to be able to have guys out there, enough of them out there doing it. We don't have enough more. We had through it here, I think it was really so they get in and get out.
We all don't know how to, do you know how to lay carpet? Do any of your people know how to lay carpet? No.
No
professional carpet.
When you have people that do it for a living, they tend to come in and knock it out.
Yeah, you're right.
Do it correctly the first
sure.
time.
Sure. That's right. Go back and
have it time to stay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, right. That's all I have.
What about?
That's where I commented about equipment. One of the things that we don't have very much of is very good equipment. It costs people staff to do their jobs.
Right.
We recently bought a couple of new bumpers and things that we like the library and different places. They really needed the right tools to do the job and training. But we saw some training recently where we sent them off to offsite training or to BBCC to get trained to go to work on a certain type of thing. So sheriff's on a special case, but most of these other people will be better at it than if we report with all the right tools and the right training to do it.
What about postage meters? Have we consolidated any of those yet, or are we going to?
I haven't looked at postage meters since I've been because we've only got about two or three on staff. Anyway, one is our county admin building. One in the commissioner's right. office up that way, and then I'm not sure if the sheriff's office has one or not. I haven't looked at consolidated because I didn't find that there were too many. You see postage on different departments because they consolidate. For instance, my office goes downstairs to the planning department and uses that Franklin machine. Finance uses that Franklin machine. Building inspection, planning, it's all everybody that voted uses that same Franklin machine.
While we're on the bills, weatherproofing. Is there a way we can get the windows weatherproofed in the Commissioner of Revenue's office's treasurer's office? That building breathes air, and it's costing us exorbitant amounts in heating bills. Because we're not putting plastic on the windows, we're not taking due diligence. Sooner or later, all those windows are going to have to be replaced. They're 100 years old, but for now, I was discussing this with Mr. Bibb. He did mention that, but what I'm saying to you now for this winter, which started. Tonight it's 20 degrees out there. I mean, we could have gotten, we couldn't got it, we could have put plastic up on those windows, we could have, those radiators are running like all the time.
I look into it. I predict huge amounts of complaints. Not being able to see out the windows, then on board and we're going to open the window. And honestly, the director's office is actually from standpoint of energy, while it is old and it does, it's not very well insulated, it is not by any means close to being our most expensive building.
It's one of the least
our problems, Stephen, you actually did an energy efficiency study of your own.
It's below average. I don't know that it's below it, but well, it's about a lot and a half as far as it is best for square foot is on an annual basis. I can certainly look into it.
But not only that, not only that.
The constitutional officer wrote the ability to get their opinion as to whether they would want something like that. Because I know it does struck a few out of the way that they do something, and it does.
If they're not happy with it, that's one thing. But I'm looking at cost savings. That's all.
So we do have a project that works to do some major work on credit facility over the next, well, not the next 2 years, but I believe this because it's the end of the day, maybe the shift is one year, probably the next fiscal year, we will get started.
Yeah, well, I mean, once and for all, we got to start taking care of our buildings.
My grandmother's old Victorian had this.
That's how old it's building, because even younger folks don't see those or not in house much anymore.
Right.
We just put pennies in there.
Maybe we're going to have John Gooch.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. Gooch will want to come out here.
Yeah, Mr. Gooch had
it. One of the things you'll see under CIP is really the first blush at a comprehensive look at all the buildings. You had room last year, some money to do some building studies and to review the buildings to find out whether or not they would like the macro. But what we need to do a building, the staff has been doing that. You'll see a pretty good run of that against the initial CIP.
What about the MACA building? Since we're on that.
The building has turned out to be much better shape than we had expected. It is knowledgeable and it is maintainable. There are a variety of different uses that they've used before. As you'll see when you see the CIP, there's a variety of competing interests down right now. We've just found out that the vehicle maintenance building on the other side, the gymnasium down there, is about ready to fall down. And that structure is down. But the MAC building itself is in much better shape based on what the engineers have told us now than what we expected. And so there are some project dollars to go to that to prepare the roof and those kinds of things on that one. But it's in good shape, which is what's the right one. The white building on the other side, on the other hand,
that's something we'll address when we get to it, but MAC is always going to need a home. So.
Do we have any other comments on the consent agenda? Hearing none, would somebody like to move the consent agenda?
And just to point out, Mr. Chuckwell, serving that act of fashion, and certainly we've got all right about it.
You know, that just while you mentioned that, Mr. Tugwell deserves some recognition because this is the second time around that he's been handed the job and carried on, and there hasn't been a single hitch, and that's pretty amazing. I don't know. I mean, every department we have seems to be that you know, we aren't missing anymore, that you know, people can carry on, and in this case, you know, a lot of times we expect things of people above their abilities, but I think he's reached above and beyond.
Well, so, deserved praise for him because he has done a good job, whether he's, you know, our senior client or whether he's in this acting position here for the last year. He's done a very good job, and we certainly appreciate that. But there's a lot of people like that in our county that can step up and do it. This can't do it continuously on a surge basis.
Just throwing it out.
We have a motion on the consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
There, second.
Second.
Motion is made by Mrs. Booker, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0. Unfinished business. I have one item. It's the Columbia deputy. I gave Sheriff Washington communicating something to the board.
I didn't call it up here because we sent something to you directly, but I don't have a link. But essentially what we're doing is we're supporting the formal position there now, although we can review it through budget season, or we have to reprioritize the budget season now. But he didn't recommend it based on community policing parameters.
He equally reiterated that the desire to hire 3 deputies in order to put a 4th deputy on staff.
Right. And to do 3 deputies a year for 3 years and then 2 promotions for sergeants, so you have to
put a 4th on.
Yeah.
You need
one.
Sure. One for sure.
Discuss this on the 5th of December anyway, aren't we? What's this schedule for? Discuss put on the agenda then.
It was supposed to be on the agenda for July.
Yeah, but Chair Washington is going to be here this
morning.
I'm not entirely certain that I'm satisfied with the answer. I think having a part-time deputy there, at least to cover peak hours in Columbia, would serve as a stepping stone to getting a 4th deputy in Havana, which I think is a goal that most of us have. Not entirely satisfied with the answer, unfortunately.
Did you suggest the time? Did you suggest the
week
time?
Yes, ma'am.
And so a deputy would be there once a day, twice a day?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in the evening, between the hours of 8 and 12.
So it's not every day?
No, it would not be. But in the letter, Sheriff Washington, Mr. Nichols, I'm sure, will be more than happy to communicate that letter to the rest of the board. I know that Mr. Albrook has already been privileged to see it.
I had several, and Mr. Kenny's aware of this, contacts today with email contacts with the sheriff on this subject. And I sort of reiterated that I supported the extra vehicles 2 years ago and switched to leasing, which increased those extra vehicles to even more vehicles. Then the pay increase last year, I supported and pushed on educational incentives, and that was step 2 in moving forward with the sheriff's needs. And I certainly, I've had discussions throughout the year, and I believe Mrs. Booker has too, on the increased deputies. If you increase 3 deputies, that's only 1 per shift. It sounds like a lot of people, but it's not. Over 3 years, it's going to be a necessity to increase his staff about 9 personnel, which works because it works with a 3-year budget consistency in that case. So that's not a big problem. But I just reiterated that is my feeling, and this request had nothing to do with showing that you needed more personnel. We know that. There was the immediate need after the armed robbery. Heaven help if a child was killed. what's that worth? Is that worth a little bit of extra coverage? And as much as I don't want to single out one particular area, and we had this discussion, and I also did with the sheriff, is that eventually that could move to another area and another problem area. And that's something we need to address down the road and covering problem areas with the extra personnel that we fund. Because a kid's store was a problem just 2 months ago. I mean, the economy and the way things just are in this world right now, it's coming to Fluvanna County, and we need to be ahead of it. So I did reiterate that we are in support of that, but I side with Mr. Kenny on this one. That scratched my head a little bit because I thought a simple request, and it turned into a little bit more than that. And if I'd
you understand? I don't know what to say.
Well, I don't.
I understand that.
I mean, might be me personally, I'm a little dissatisfied with the response, but it does sound like there's some consensus that we do need more personnel, and perhaps idiot and bites for its hiring a deputy and hiring another over the course of 3 years, and then hiring the admin personnel. Maybe that resolves the issue, but that will be for future board to resolve.
Yep.
Nonetheless, I do believe that Columbia it should be an area of focus, and I disagree with the sheriff as the description.
That being said,
moving on to, are there any other items in the unfinished business for the board?
A new business, sir.
New business. Town of Columbia signs. Unfinished
business? Yeah, I think it's.
Okay. Mr. Chester.
You know, we just talked about all the various needs we have. I don't know how we're going to be able to do that unless we have some other source of income. Economic development. And we also, a few minutes ago, we talked about the actions we need to take with our board. I would like for us to revisit. Section D, line 1, strike 45 days and add 75 days. And 5, have the county administrator commit about $500,000 to the water deposit for the aqua water agreement per the terms of the agreement. And further instruct the county administrator to commit amounts of $50,000 to the deposit for the aqua sewer agreement for the terms of the agreement.
Where'd this come from? Where'd that come from?
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made. Motion, Mr. Chester, seconded Mrs. Booker. Mr. Weaver, you have a discussion?
I don't know where this came from. Anything of any consequence has always been brought up to put on the agenda. It's not even the back end of this. We're talking about $1 million. Is that right?
Well, to continue the process.
But there was no
bring it up at 822. I'm not familiar with it.
There,
I don't know if anybody else ever did, but some other people are familiar with this. But to bring it up and not have any more input to the public, I'm appalled. This is shocking to me.
This was dropped months ago, a couple months ago, and this is the first. I mean, this. Who else knew about this?
Well, I think the entire community's known about it.
Did you know about this motion?
The entire community. entire community has known about it for 3 months now. And yes, this is stuff that's been discussed 2 months now.
No, what was discussed was that you dissolved discussions on this with Aqua Virginia, and it wasn't. That was it.
Are you saying that you were not aware of the PPEA, Mr. Oliver?
I'm not aware this was being brought up tonight. Were you?
Were you not? So in further, you're not aware of the PPEA, aware of the public hearing, and you were not aware of...
I'm not going to waste any more of my voice of something you're going to... You three are going to stuff through again.
So you were aware.
Ahead of the public.
So what you have here is, ladies and gentlemen...
Just go ahead and vote for it.
No. What you have here is democratic process.
Just go ahead and vote for it.
Yes, absolutely it is, Mr. Weaver. Hold on. This is not on the table. Hold on, Mr. Weaver. I have the floor here. Mr. Chesser has brought up a motion, has been properly seconded. There's nothing improper about that. This is a PPA agreement that has been on the table and been discussed since May of 2012. The negotiations stopped. Mr. Chesser has found a way to break through. That's his prerogative. That's the way this process is supposed to work. Is it not? We've been discussing this since, August?
We have not discussed this motion ever.
That's why we're discussing it now.
Hold on. I get to talk too, though.
But that's why it's on the table now. You can't allege it's somehow improper for him to make a motion, is it?
Yes, but the board does not play this underhanded things at the end of a meeting. No one knows about it. At least I don't, and evidently some other people don't know about it. I don't know where that even fits in with Aqua. Sure, we've talked about it for gosh knows how long. But to pull that at the end of the meeting, I don't really know what he has in that. I mean, he read it, but that's the first time I've ever heard anything about it. This is another thing. I would be ashamed to do that, not to have it on the agenda. I would not be a part of anything.
I think we did that when we cut $2.3 million out of the school budget, which I didn't know anything about a couple of hours before time. So, and you read the motion. So, we have been talking about the PPEA, and we've had a public comment. You all have voted. I know you're against it, whether you know about it, if you knew about it months ago. Would you approve the Aqua Virginia partnership?
You asked me a question?
Yes.
No, I'm not giving $20 million away like that and then let them negotiate when you have nothing to negotiate with. And that contract is, as far as I'm concerned personally, it's a bogus contract that puts this county down. And how this affects that, I don't know. But this is about the worst that I've seen anything done in this county since I've been on board.
This partnership with Aqua does not put the county down. It's a way for us to move forward.
Does this change the legal ramifications that we were on before?
I don't know. I can tell you that at the time that Aqua, I thought they would do it, but I guess it would be more fair to construe it as a terminated discussion. At that time, I will tell you that I was not willing to approve that contract.
Correct.
I don't know to what extent, and I don't mean any criticism, Mr. Chester, but I listened to it, and I would have to go back and see to what extent my concerns have been addressed. And if they have been addressed, and that would change that would render my opinion in one direction. They haven't been addressed, but I can tell you right now, I will not approve it.
Good.
No, Ms. Nichols, are you aware of this? Are you aware of this? I'm saying two people who have put more time in on this than any board member, they've gone to all the meetings. They've gone to meetings when the rest have not even been available. And you get a motion like this, not put on the agenda, it is outrageous.
There's only two basic changes.
Well, what feels like that's it.
This is the same one that was in front of everybody that's posted on the county's website for a few months.
jurisdiction area, change the rate in that. And the other change is the number of days that we can have involved in the maintenance agreement and the public work.
Mr. Chester, I can't address that.
Is there a contract?
It's a very complicated contract, and I know I have a number of concerns about it. I can't even recite those to you right now because I haven't thought about it for 2 months.
Sure.
I would need to go back and see what those concerns were and to what extent they're addressed. As you know, I don't take positions on the substance of these, but as to whether it's approvable, I simply can't tell you that. I would have to review it.
I don't see a contract that we're voting on.
How do you know where these fit in? You haven't even had a chance to review. You have the two of the main people here who has led us through all this. They don't even know what we're talking about either. And here it is, at the end of the meeting, ready to close the meeting. You know, it's quite obvious what's going on. And I'm appalled.
You weren't appalled when the $2.3 million was cut from the school. You
so this
jail.
Is payback.
No, it's no payback. I'm just trying to compare your shock at this situation.
I supported the position to begin with on education.
Okay.
You know that.
And now
so
you act like there's nothing that's never been done.
Oh,
we must move forward. And I can't, we've got Louisa out there with I don't know where they're going. Eventually, we will have water from the James River. We will for the future. But right now, we cannot sit and wait 5, 6, 7 years to see when water from Louisa is going to get to Zion's Crossroads.
So two wrongs make a right.
What's the two wrongs?
Well, you just mentioned one of them, and here's the second one.
Mrs. Booker isn't saying either one's wrong. What she's saying is that the process, would we rather do this behind closed doors? Is that what we're arguing?
You're the one involved in this, not me.
I'm involved in it because Mr. Chester made a motion and Mrs. Booker second.
And you knew nothing about it?
Everybody's known about this. Everybody's
no, did you
about
know about this motion
about
tonight?
Yes or no?
Did you know about the motion tonight?
You know the motion
everybody's been
knowing.
You knew about
you
this
knew
motion?
About
I didn't know about this motion tonight.
Mr. Oliver, you absolutely knew about it.
I knew he was going to make a motion tonight.
Yes, you've been...
I did not know he was going to make a motion tonight. How would I know that?
Mr. Oliver, in Virginia, you tend to call a parliamentary...
How would I know he was going to make a motion tonight?
Question the integrity of another individual who tends to be thrown out of the House of Commons.
How would I know he was going to make a motion tonight?
There's no question that the AQUA agreement, are you telling me that we have not discussed this at all?
We have not discussed
the AQUA Virginia agreement, period. And so then there's the secondary. So you're suggesting then this, whatever Mr. Chester had in mind, whatever Mrs. Booker just seconded, you're suggesting we should have discussed that behind closed doors. So we're now discussing this in public in the light of day, and we're upset about it.
It's not on the agenda. Nobody
it is on the agenda. Unfinished business right there. It's a matter of unfinished business for how many months? I mean, he's perfectly entitled to make a motion, just as much as Mr. Allenberg was entitled to make a motion on the budget. This is parliamentary practice. This is the way it works. And just because you disagree with it does not mean that it's wrong.
You're right. Stuff it through with 3 more meetings. Spend the $20 million. Please, spend it. Spend it.
Mr. Allenbrock,
spend it. No, I'm not saying
Mr.
anymore.
That's simply not.
What is it?
Sure. Not living up to the integrity of the office which you represent.
No.
Spend the money. 20, 30, 40 million. Go ahead, just spend it.
Mr. Chester, the two changes that are in that document are precisely, or the two changes that are being discussed here are what precisely? Could you repeat them?
We're just changing the wording on the. This applies to either the water pipeline construction or the sewer pipeline construction. The first change is to change the wording from the United States Federal District Court to the Federal Western District of Virginia Crossroads and as permissible by law. Not one major change. The second major change is the number of days. Section 8, subsection C, line 1, strike 45. That'll
can tell you that I objected to the design. I can tell you that I do not know if my other objections have been addressed or not. Because I had other objections. I can't tell you what they were off the top
of my head.
Because it permits jurisdiction in the federal court.
Do you object to it on legal grounds? Or do you
yes,
object
sir.
On a preferred grounds?
I object to it on legal grounds.
Specifically?
Well, it says here it's permissible law, by law. So
the court doesn't have jurisdiction. You cannot impose it. And what's going to happen if there's a dispute is we're going to spend time and money litigating the game for the any litigation. Litigation over a claim under a contract. And that is
exclusively in Serbia Court.
Then, as applicable by law, should not concern you because the Code of Virginia will determine that.
You've heard my opinion, Mr. Kenny, and I'm going to tell you that if the board approves this, then it will be my duty to go back and review the contract as approved. And unless the issues have been addressed that I raised at the last meeting, at which time I assumed that was the end of it, I will not approve it.
And I believe that you notified the Board of Supervisors that we could indeed override your determinations?
Yes, you can.
I think that's what's going to happen. Mrs. Booker, Mrs. Chesser, Mr. O'Brien, and Mr. Sheridan, I want to sincerely apologize for my vote on the budget 2 years ago. It was a mistake. That should never have happened. Because the reason why is because in Pavanna County, when we follow process, it really doesn't matter. In Pavanna County, if we disagree with it, it's bad process, and when we agree with it, it's good process. And that is a terrible message to send our business community. I sincerely hope you gentlemen set a better example for the future. I have nothing more to say on this. We have a motion. It's already been made and seconded.
It didn't make it seconded. I think
and I will call a question then, because I'm tired of discussing it.
I'm still having more discussion.
Well, I call a question. All in favor? You can discuss it after the fact. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Me?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. It passes 3-2. Mr. Weaver, comments?
No, I'm too.
I need a clarification. We've set this.
Yes.
And if Mr. Kennedy reviews this and finds it to be not right, where does that put us?
I believe it's the prerogative of the Board of Supervisors to proceed accordingly. Those are two extremely minor amendments to the document, one of which I can quite convinced, has no bearing whatsoever on its illegality or anything like that is applicable by law. I find that to be very confident. And yes, Pavanna County can't find justice in a federal court. It has once before. We have any other items of unfinished business? Hearing none, we do have items for new business. We'll start with the County of Columbia signs.
Ask a question about the signs and had reviewed the potential layout of the signs. I think the board has a copy of that in front of them. Here's a pictorial samples of those signs. Some various different layouts and formats. The signage here would be at either end of Columbia coming into town using slate signs with the wooden posts and pillars and then a wooden emblem for the town seal.
Town Council has seen these, at least individually. They have not approved either one of them. Obviously, it has the town seal on it. They would have to go ahead and, because it is the use of their own seal, they would have to go ahead and approve these or approve a specific design. So I believe that the specific request at this point in time could be twofold. One, we can either go ahead and approve, make the appropriations for $2,500 or whatever the case may be, go ahead and erect the signs and then have Town Council approve whichever version they prefer. And then move on from there. Sites, locations within the town have already been identified. It's just along Route 6 on either entrance, and that's all it is, coming from Fork Union, coming from Goochland County. So,
where would the sign be coming from Fork Union?
St. James Place. It's the where the church has that property. Mm-hmm. Mr. Harry's already consented to go ahead and have the sign erected on there. The other one would be on the right-hand side as you come into Columbia. And to be very honest about, that's the property that I will be donating. So if there's any concern, by the way, from the members of the Board of Supervisors, because it is on my property where one of the signs will be going, and I do go to church and want to get on that fun stuff, I'd be more than happy to recuse myself from voting
signs are, you know, very attractive, and I think that they would add some value to that community, because I continue to be concerned about the community, and I do hope that they too will take pride in it, maybe do some things around there to get rid of some of the unseemly things that you see.
I know that they do. There's the Columbia Task Force meets on Friday. For any member of the Board of Supervisors would like to attend, I strongly encourage that. That they do intend to reapply for the grant, and I believe that comes in March. But they haven't. They're literally in all conversations for that on Friday as to whether or not they will reapply. I do believe that it's the Virginia. They own Mary Washington, or the Martha Jefferson House in Fredericksburg. It's a historic. It's one of the historic preservation groups. They've actually taken an interest in the project in and of itself. And so there are some of the homes along the main street that they will. Prior to, there was the idea that we would just go ahead and bulldoze everything in the main street and build a park. They may be interested in actually going in there and rescuing some of the buildings. So, but that would be entirely upon them, and it wouldn't change any of the project necessarily. It would just be, it's just one more partner at the table that's interested in Columbia's survival.
What time is the task force meet?
One. It'll be at the town hall on Friday.
Well, thank God age has given me the ability to set things aside and move on to the next, because I agree with you, Mr. Kenny, on this subject. We've discussed it, and I'd like to see this. We discussed, I thought we had about $4,000 extra money on sign money.
Yeah, that's what I understood as well, otherwise I would have never proceeded with any of this. So, and, Mr. Nichols, if you could clarify for the public.
Last I heard, it was $6,700 spent on signs.
$10,000.
That's correct.
County signs.
Yes.
There was nothing budgeted.
No, I understand that, but the last figure we got.
$6,700. That's not what we spent on signs, that was what we spent on the signs. And the rest of the signs that was ordered for the partial rec facility were $9,001, $9,001 and $9,002 right now. We're going to spend the money on signs for the county.
And you told me earlier that Pleasant Grove, that's a temporary sign.
The one, not the dog park.
No, that Pleasant Grove
one of the main
is a temporary sign.
The temporary sign doesn't get a sign up because we don't have anything that says Pleasant Grove. Long term, we need something much fancier, bigger, and more visible from the highway.
Why did we spend so much money on a temporary sign?
It's not a temporary sign.
It is a temporary sign.
How temporary is it?
He just told me it's a temporary sign.
Maybe for a couple of years.
Well, yeah, I mean tomorrow. The plan all along, I had told you before, and briefed you on, and showed you pictures of, is that long term you're going to have a big sign between two stone pillars, the stones to match the Pleasant Grove House construction.
But it's not designed yet. That's what's.
Designed, just have to order to drink. Okay, maybe. I'm what you got there now is a small vessel or something.
That's another subject.
I'm a Catholic. My definition of time runs in centuries, not weeks.
And the other thing is,
you've got to be. In our lifetime. All right, let's get back on subject.
On subject. I originally moved forward thinking there was, we appropriated 10, we spent 6,700. I ballparked it for 2, and it turned into 2.5 or $2,500. So that's where, and we were at $9,001
at this point.
So we have made a motion.
No, that.
Do we need a motion?
Just one more thing, and one. We'll get a sign permit. We're all set. But eventually, I'd like to say, and we discussed this. This is a township, and Palmyra is a village.
It is a town. There's no such thing as township.
Is a town.
Yankees have townships.
And we have villages in Palmyra. So,
I.
Yeah, in one village.
One incorporated town.
And one village.
Well,
yeah, yeah. But I'd like to see eventually district signs like entering Cork Union, a little better signage in the future. And this is maybe a step to it, you know, and on the major roads and entering Palmyra, entering Troy, that kind of thing. Just, I mean, people have a lot of pride in the locations where they live. And that's why I'm agreeing to this one. And I that's why I agree to the law enforcement issue and to the grant issue, because it's part of our county. And whether you live in Fork Union or like Monticello or not, it is part of this county. And anything we can do to enhance any part of this county, I'm in favor of. You know, and you know, like I said, we can disagree on things and yell at each other all we want, but sometimes things make sense, you know.
Thank you, Bob. You're right.
Let's just get this going.
So obviously, pulling the resources from this, obviously, the contingency here could come from wherever you choose to specify, but.
This is going to be an interesting motion. Give me the gavel.
Is it the consent of the board to go ahead and pull it from board contingency?
Do we need to vote on it?
Yeah.
Is a vote necessary? It's just sort of a consent. I would believe a vote would probably be necessary.
I don't require no direction.
It would be appropriate. Well, then we need a motion to appropriate $2,500 from the board contingency.
Okay, can I have the correct amount for the minute?
I wouldn't hold yourself to that amount.
Okay.
I would say up to 3,000.
Up to 3,000. Yeah. All right. I move that we spend up to 3,000 for the Columbia signage, and it be taken from the contingency.
Second. Motion is made by Mrs. Busher, seconded by Mr. Chesser. Any further discussion on this topic?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. All right, moving on to the Board of Supervisors planning retreat.
That's,
Mr. Oliver.
I mentioned earlier today, this is something that we spent like $5,000 2 years ago on this, and after the fact, we got figures that were way off from what the original figure. Anyway, this is something the new board's going to have to make a decision on and vote on. And I would suggest that we address this at the first meeting of the new board.
But will you be able to find a facilitator if we wait that late?
Well, I think that was part of my thing on the facilitator. The experience we had in the last one 2 years ago wasn't. I think on this one, you know,
we had one.
You know what I mean. Yeah. You know what I mean. I know your love.
Yeah,
for
we
Mr.
had
Tate.
One in 2008, and that was two or three days.
Many years of experience with this guy. Can I tell you what I think, Mr. Nichols? I don't disagree with all the accounts I've heard from all the board, but after the BPA is going to be going forward now, and on top of everything else, I've got a short brief, and I don't want to get into the retreat stuff. But this board of supervisors, with two new members coming on, and some changes in the fiscal pressures now, has to have a strategic plan on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other possible way to figure out the way ahead. I need direction specifically on a whole plethora of issues. changed dramatically. And while I've been a little critical of the 2-year-ago BOS retreat, I'm not necessarily critical of Mr. Tate's services that day. I just don't think anything was accomplished that day. I sat there and watched and listened to it, and I saw what happened after that, and I don't think anything came out of it. I just know that this board, in other form, has done this in the past, came up with a good plan. Other boards have come up with good plans. And what your board, I think, truly needs, and the staff absolutely needs, is clear direction and focus. It's going to be a very difficult budget year. It's going to be an interesting follow-on budget year in the next couple of years. Maybe better, maybe not so good, but maybe better. But this budget year is going to be particularly hard. And for the next 2 years, while there's still no changes on the board, the staff really needs what we have not had in the last 2 years, and that specific direction on the way ahead. Now, the only way to get that is not by having the county administrator or some other local person come in and kind of talk to you and say, well, we should work on this, work on that. You need an outside expert that really knows the business of county government and state government in the state of Virginia. There are many ways to get that, but I strongly recommend that you take the time to do a day and a half or 2-day strategic planning retreat. I strongly recommend that you spend some money to bring in the right person. My recommendation, I've got some recommendations here, but if you do that, my recommendation is you select someone like Mike Chandler, who is a professor emeritus from Virginia Tech, who does all the planning commission training classes, does the Board of Supervisors member certification training courses around the state. We've done more than 40 or 50 different off-site planning, strategic planning sessions for boards, city councils, towns, and counties around the state. And while there are plenty of other people who do that, regardless of who you pick, you would be, in my view, a very good choice. But you as a board need to get some very clear focus on what you want to do, how you're going to do it, what your goals and objectives are, so that staff can then launch forward to carry that out. If you do it, meeting to meeting, you're not going to be as effective as you want to be.
Right.
You may have projects, those all need to be developed together. You can't do that in a 3-hour evening session. The work session that's scheduled for December 4th in the evening has just got turned upside down on its head, and I'm going to have to kind of rework a lot of those numbers and dollars, but it's really important. While we don't have all the new board members yet, I still think you need to hear it now, or you need to hear it again in January, or you need to hear it again in strategic planning offsite, because there are significant challenges ahead. And I'm not trying to preach woe and doom. It's just the reality of running our county and your fiscal responsibility.
Since we don't have to vote on this. That's all right. Go ahead.
Having experienced last year, we got an afternoon or a morning. We really didn't talk, and I think this, to a large degree, and this is not to offend the ears of the public, but the presence of the public chilled what we had to say to one another, and so that. But you don't have any choice on that, of course. So that's something that's fairly unique, because obviously, you know, politicians being what they are, they couch everything, and they're very safe, and the best way to be safe is to be quiet. I think you can tell them not very safe at all. But that's something that a facilitator is going to have to try to surmount. That's not easy to do in a morning session. It's much easier to do in a several day session. Even if it's like, you know, everybody goes to dinner, or somebody goes to dinner with a member of staff on Friday, and then Saturday morning you break out, and Sunday after church you do it again. Something over the course of several days helps.
What I'd like to see. Since we don't have to vote on this, I'd like to get affirmation from the new members, because it's their retreat. I mean, this board, I don't think, should be voting on their retreat.
I have had a comment back from one of the members. I mean, I sent it to all of you. Now, this specific one about using Mr. Chandler, I have to, because I just solidified that and got his acknowledgement. He's actually going to be
I absolutely say we need to do the retreat, but I want inclusive the opinions and decisions of the new members.
It's not a retreat, it's an event.
Can I show you a couple slides, or if you want?
Yes, sir. Please.
So come on. What I'm concerned about is this. You have a staff that's not very big, but very talented, very caregiver, we have lots of good folks, but they need to know where you want to go tomorrow. And if we wait until 2 hours before tomorrow, we're not going to get you there efficiently. And so we really need to know where you want to go. This budget season, that helps solidify a lot of things for us when we go through budget season, because you set out some budget priorities and improve them. But that's really just a one-year plan. I need to know what you want to do over the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. Now, you may not be able to carry forward past 2 years because you're going to have another election and maybe more different supervisors sitting in those seats in 2 years. But at least we ought to be able to figure out where we want to go over the next 2 years. This, as scrambled as that is, that's the nature of our budget and where we need to go and what I'm going to have to present to you as a budget planning tool in the spring. This talks all the different problems that are associated with us trying to give you a briefing on December 4th in a work session. And it goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 to 6. It's all over the map. But I've got to be able to explain that to you because honestly, I don't think all of you know all the parts and pieces. Some of you know some of it really well. Some of you know large parts well. Some of you don't know well. But collectively, you have to tell me what to do. And I need you to understand the sequence and the goals and all that. At least every 2 years, in my view, but you all decide when you want to do it. But this year, there are some significant pressures facing the budget. You're going to make a decision on this spring. It just changed dramatically. We're going to have to address that now, too. But there are a whole variety of things. But we want to try to lay that out to you. But here's what the problem is. You've got a new board, you may have new ideas, new priorities, new directions. What are the big rock issues for the board? Where do you want them? How do you want them addressed? Where do you want to go with them? What are your priorities? How do you find the path that's doable? Because you can't find everything you want to do. I just know you can't. And you can't just stop and do nothing. Well, you could. You can do what you want. But I just don't think there's, I don't think you're going to go to the one's extreme. I think there's probably a middle path that you have to find. And we need to know what that direction is. Because a small step you have can't work effectively unless we know in advance where we're at. So, not only us, but all the boards and commissions that serve you, whether it's the planning commission, the parking lot advisory board, all the different boards and commissions, those are your representatives in the community for every function. They need to know where you're heading as well. I know that the two supervisors want their opinion on it, how they want to do it. It affects 5 people in January or February, whenever you want to do this. But if we wait until the first meeting in January to decide when we're going to do it, then we're talking probably March, because I have to go arrange facilitators and spaces and timing and things like that. My recommendation in talking to Mr. Chandler is that you do a Friday afternoon, say at 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and then you go to dinner, and then you do Friday evening, and then you come back and work all day Saturday. And then Mr. Chandler would come back to you in some short number of weeks with the results of that laid out to you in a plan with goals and objectives. Where you want to do it, then you can formulate it out. Then we actually have a roadmap. Now that takes a great deal of work. The forming, storming, norming that goes on with new groups of people, and disparate views and different ideas, and lack of knowledge or too much knowledge, or we need to get everybody, all 5 of you, on the same page. You have to all know the baseline information, and you've got to share it back and forth with each other, share your perspective. Mr. Chandler is one of the kinds of people that knows your business as well as anybody in this room. He is really experienced and really talented. Many of us have been to training classes with him or to formal classes that are required to as planning commissioners or other things. He is just one alternative, but I don't recommend you bring in just kind of a local person to come and just kind of help. You need a true, real live, no kidding facilitator. His price for this, including the advanced surveys, the day and a half, coming back to brief you, not to exceed $5,000. He thinks probably more than $4,000. But that's my recommendation. Regardless of which way you go, my recommendation is you please set up a formal off-site training session so we can get you on the same page, coalesce, heading in direction, and you do it for a day and a half or two. And the dates that I was looking at were for the later January dates and the first week of February. That's my strong recommendation.
If I can,
go ahead.
No, I think you might agree. If we can get a nod of the heads of the incoming people and just get this done, get it done.
Well, or you could have Mr. Nichols go ahead and contact them individually.
Just do it. I mean, just as long as they're involved and an agreeable.
Not all the strings for all these discussions on email, but I've actually got some feedback. They haven't seen this because you haven't seen this. This is just due to all of you tonight.
Just get a majority of some kind of agreement, let's do it.
In 2008, we had such a get together with Jennifer. And it was probably 2 days. We were at Palmer School. We pulled everything together, and she gave it to us, and she came back twice as a follow-up. Now, that kind of fell after two people moved off the board. So it was lost. So how, I don't know, we need to talk about it. How can we keep something going longer than 2 years? Do we make a 2-year plan?
Yes.
So that we know that we finish that in 2 years, and if the board changes and they want to go in another direction.
That's politics.
I think
the aqua proposal right now,
right,
we're not a 2-year plan anymore. Now it's a
right, it's a longer plan.
So that's already on the table.
Sure.
What other things are you going to do in the next 2 years? And that's
right,
what Mr. Chandler proposed. Not trying to stretch too far and get across
right
the election line, because
mm-hmm
you never know what's going to
change.
But we need bites to be able to go forward on it.
Right. And I think the what we have stepped forth tonight with Aqua is going to push us into another frame of mind. And it's going to motivate us to get the work done and to get this economic development going. It's kind of frightening and shaky, but sometimes those things, those are the emotions you have when you're making a real big step. I know. We're gonna do that. We're gonna have economic development. Everybody's gonna look back one day. Hope
so.
Just like Louisa County.
You have the five of you. You have two members. Mr. Pankin said you could actually ask them. I would love to get a decision from you tonight because there's a lot of work that goes into planning.
Yeah.
Are you good with
you're favorable, Mr. Sheridan? You're favorable
with Mr. Chandler.
There we go. So,
and as long as it's in Fluvanna County.
Yes.
Thank you. As long as you got a location in Fluvanna County.
For those that work, then I'd also plan. The plan would be on Friday afternoon late, and then Friday evening and then Saturday. Not on the holiday weekend, but that would be the
not Christmas.
And that would help.
That's fine.
Okay.
As long as it's in Fluvanna County, as long as it's Mr. Chandler, and as long as it's a Friday evening, Saturday, just do it. These two gentlemen are in agreement,
yes,
and
they are.
And you've got the rest of us.
There we go.
Good. So there's your plan. And some of you said earlier that rather later, so I'll try to shoot for the January 24th, 25th timeframe.
Fantastic.
But what will be happening is they'll come out to you with some advanced survey information to electronically to respond. We can coalesce some things so it comes to the first meeting with kind of an idea.
Thank you. Other than radon testing at homes, Mr. Ellenbrock.
I'll handle it.
Okay.
We're in the investigatory stages right now of something that I have a big concern over, and it's radon. Radon's the second leading cause of cancer next to smoking in the United States of America. Fluvanna County just happens to be one of the largest counties with abundance of radon in the state of Virginia. State law in real estate sales requires that radon test be done. No, and I'm sorry, state law does not require a radon test be done on land that's being built for residential purposes. But many mortgages, if you get a mortgage, many banks require it. But that being said, there's a lot of homes around here that are 150 years old, 100 years old, that are passed down from family to family that have never been tested. And you're bringing up generations of kids in these homes, and when they hit 40 years old, they're saying, how did I get cancer? I don't smoke. I don't do anything wrong. And these are hidden causes. It's odorless, you know, and you don't know it's hitting you. Anyway, my initial investigation started because of the earthquake 2 years ago in August. Changed the rock formations in many areas in this county, and I tripped over a few of my constituents whose homes were tested 7 or 8 years ago, just had their homes retested, and they were off the charts on radon. So that's a concern. Now that you've had homes tested, that tested fine, but the possibilities are there that isn't the case anymore. Lowe's now sells a radon test kit. That's very inexpensive. The mitigation, the radon mitigation devices are right at $1,200. So that's where the big cost is. But what's the cost of having your kids have cancer 20 or 30 years from now? I mean, you just got to weigh that. But I'm not throwing out any warning signs or anything. I'm just making it clear that I made this clear to the county administrator to look into it. He's looking into state records and any information they have for the public on this, and we're going to set this up at the nearest meeting we can for someone to come in that's a professional to discuss it. If anything, it's just getting the word out that it is an issue and it is a concern, and you know, this board makes a lot of decisions on spending money and not spending money and doing this or that. This is a public safety issue, in my opinion, and we should let the people know that it is a concern out there. But until we get that information from the state, that's solid information on what's going on in our county. You know, I sort of don't want anyone jumping off as this being a huge emergency, but it's something I find
good
important.
Information.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Did you say in your email that you had a test in your house?
Yeah, I was off the wall. Yeah.
Did you use the kit from Lowe's?
No, I had a company come in.
You had a company. What do they do? Just test the air?
You close all your windows and shut everything down, and they put test kits around the house.
Okay.
And then they pick down the cellar, and they pick them up 24 hours later, and come back with.
And what do they ask you to do? Is there anything you can do to get it out?
Yeah, they put a mitigation system in that, and what enhances this, and what my concern is it's the winter time. When the summertime, you have your windows open, you have your doors open, you get ventilation going through the house. In the wintertime, we're sealing the windows, and fireplaces are a key ingredient in a dwelling sucking radon into a home.
It
causes a air force that I'm not a scientist.
Is that a wood burning?
I think I got a D- in science. So, but it sucks the air from the ground. It has some kind of force that sucks radon from the ground into the homes, and that's gas fireplaces do it also. So,
just natural
it's a natural. Cause, you know, and it's just
interesting.
Okay. But we will be releasing
the state expert who does come to the region board, lots of fan mail news, and then we'll contact papers to get an article done both areas.
Any other items of new business then? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move into our second round of public comment. Again, please.
room to keep your comments under 5 minutes on topic directed to the board. Anyone wishing to address the board at this time? Mr. Sheridan. Doesn't matter.
Good evening. My name is Robert Earl. I'm a real estate professional. Wanted to piggyback on what you're saying about radon. And I'll start with you saying that if you don't want to jump off in, we got cliffs or anything along that line. In a real estate transaction, radon is an optional test done by the purchaser. Virginia is a caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. So it is not something that the seller is required to do. It is a rare instance where it is the mortgage company that requires it. So it's very, very limited. I would recommend that you also work with your surrounding jurisdictions. When we were talking about a night where signs are going up, you do not want to put up messages about Louisiana being a high radon concentration area, because all of the areas around here would then fall into that same rock formation, etc. And for real estate values, that is definitely something that you would not want to have the message. So messaging on this issue is extremely important in going into this, and working with the new builders as well as to the items that they're putting in, offering that as an enhancement of what goes into it. The test kits that are at Lowe's, etc., are very variable, shall we say, in their accuracy in comparison to professional testing companies that go into it. And be prepared if you're offering these types of things, then working with companies for reuse mitigation, working with green initiatives to be able to offset the cost for especially lower income or some of the properties in the lake, et cetera, that were built in the first go round of buildings that were on there. Second item to address is there was plenty that was mentioned about signs and the spending of dollars in the Columbia area in particular. Sometimes it's a blemish on the overall county, yet there was not addressing towards what those dollars could be put towards in addressing. It was with a piggyback right after whether we have law enforcement coverage, not have law enforcement coverage, whether it's a social issue, law enforcement issue, part of looking at that overall plan as to how do we bring that as being a gateway to our county, and again, part of our overall messaging of trying to protect Louisiana homeowners, their values, especially as they see the impact with tax dollars or assessments that are coming. So I want to make sure that we were addressing those things.
Sir,
thank you.
Mr. Rod, certainly invite you to the Columbia Task Force meeting on Friday, 1 o'clock, Town Hall. You see all that in practice. Mr. Sheridan.
Yes, sir. Mel Sheridan. And so I'd like to take just a few minutes. I'd like to talk about a lot of things tonight, but I'll speak to one. For several meetings now, in fact, several months, the board has looked at the potential of coming to water lines to the eastern part of the county. And I did discuss the merits of that, and many others. I think that train is called the best station. But an important point I think was made here tonight earlier. And the point was the board is not required to notify any adjacent landowners that may be impacted by that decision. And I'm about that. I suspect that you are not required at this point. But is that the right thing for this board to do? Is that the tenor that we want to set with the landowners? Really trust us as county, elected officials to do the right thing, for them, primarily in their absence. The 25,000 so people we have not come to these meetings because they trust us, they trust this board to do the right thing, to act in their behalf in an ethical way to represent them and keep them informed. I think you see where I'm going. For example, tonight, because it's the right thing to do, and because it is required, we have to notify for the placement of those specific garage GPs. We've done that just tonight for the placement of a forest or a landscaping operation. And that's the right thing to do. We know that there's potentially 84 landowners or more or less that are going to be impacted by the eminent domain take their property. Why would we not want to make them aware of that? Now, it isn't that they're going to rush in and change the board's decision or the leader's decision, but it's the right thing to do. I mean, the train is well out of the station. The contract signed, we've changed their comprehensive plan. I'm not here to specifically address the merits of whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, but I can tell you, in your heart, is it the right thing to do not to notify these landowners? Mr. Kenny and I know it's an air area of these 84 or so properties. I suspect I'll know 75 of these people. But I don't know specifically whether it's going to go off the left side of the pipeline or the right side. It makes a difference. The property lines in a number of these cases are along the colonial pipeline. I suspect if I asked Mr. Tugwell's staff,
follow up on Mr. Mel Sheridan's
This longing now needs to be noted for all of these people, these 34 people on the capital line that need to be notified. And they will be. Thank you.
I think Ms. Clausen, anyone else wishing to address the board? Okay. Go ahead and close the second round of public comment. We have no items for a closed meeting, Ms. Booker.
I think we're going to make a comment about not notifying people, because we are going to notify people.
That's very much
we correct. Are going to notify people, but I think what I'm hearing is that they want people notified before we do the SUP, because when you do the SUP, like we did with the garage and all those things,
right,
we notify everybody in that land area. So are we talking about notifying people before the SUP?
Public hearing before public hearing.
Before public hearing. Is that, I think that's what we're saying.
And that's just not the process.
Yeah.
That's actually disrespectful to the process to insist upon that. There's no segment of Pulvana County or any population that deserves special access to information before anyone else. We follow the process because the process exists, and when we take exemption with that, when we try to play the game in, then you know, that's where we start getting into trouble. So I completely concur with your comments. I mean, there's an SUP in place, just like the garage, just like the kennel, just like the greenhouse. We follow that process, individuals are notified, we move forward. Okay, here it is, our motion to adjourn.
Yeah,
Mr. Weaver.
Something that Mel Sheridan said tonight really rings a bell. He said the right thing to do. Think about that. What is the right thing to do? He says when you don't do the right thing, you breed distrust. You breed distrust. I've been on this board now for 24 years. And I have never, ever seen anything happen like this without it on this board. The county administrator knows nothing about it. Our attorney knows nothing about it. I know nothing about it. Obviously, Oldenbach knows nothing about it. And it's obvious who does know something about it. And I'm appalled that this board would tarnish the image of this board that doing something at the end of the meeting that's not on the agenda. Think about that. A $20 million project that's not on the agenda. That has never been done to my mind or my memory. It's and you talk about distrust. That's what has been bred. It is distrust. And I'm sorry for this county. I'm very sorry for this county. Because there's going to be unknown burdens that's going to happen that I don't know about. That certainly our administrators and staff don't know about. We say, oh, well, we've been talking about this for 6 months or 6 years or whatever. But we didn't do it at the last hour, at the last minute, and not have people aware of what was going on, and new information has been added. I have no idea where this has been added to the contract itself. Neither does the county attorney. And is it legal? It seems like we have professional legal advice on this board. I don't know it, but it seems like other people do think they know as much or more than the attorney. So I'm sticking with our staff, sticking with county administrator, and I'm sticking with the people to let you know. There have been many controversial issues in the past since I've been on the board, but it has always been on the agenda to vote on. It has always been up front. We knew we had a chance to study. Our staff had a chance to study. They had no chance to look at this. Here it is. The television would be here. The newspaper would be here if they had known such a consequence. But that's really the reason that's done at this time. That's the reason. They don't want the newspapers here. They don't want TV here. Because it's not even on the agenda. How can they be here? They can't be here because they didn't know about it. Board members didn't know about it. That's the conduct that happened tonight. And we really need to be careful of our conduct. How we treat the people of this country. Whether I agree with Aqua Virginia or don't agree with Aqua Virginia, irrelevant at this time. I'm making the point of how does this board conduct itself. It takes a majority to say that you have conducted yourself in this manner. And I'm really sad, I guess, that at the last minute, the last hour, that individuals would get together, obviously, and have a motion prepared, have it typed up, have it written already, come to the meeting, and read it. None of us knew about it. None of our administrators knew anything about it. How? And as Mr. Sheridan says, the right thing to do, certainly that wasn't the right thing to do. If you want it, fine, but let's do it above the table. Let's not do it under the table. And that creates distrust. And I hate to see us go into next year with such a burden that has manifested itself the way that it has here tonight. I'm frankly ashamed.
Mr. Weaver?
I have no comment. I mean, because I said what I had to say. And it has happened before, so.
The only comment I'm going to make is it's. I said earlier, I can carry on, and that has definitely come with age. That
yeah, it does. You just I
couldn't have done that 30 years ago, but yeah. It's not individuals, and it's process and I'm not gonna make this an individual against individual because you did this because you didn't do that thing. It's just beliefs, and that's the way it felt. And with three meetings left, you know, there's legacies and there's beliefs and there's strong beliefs, and that's the way it went down. And I'm certainly not going to let this interfere with the future. Mm-hmm. We're going to work with the future, and we're going to get on with it. I mean, there's nothing you can do. We're all talking here, and there's just, mm-hmm. you know, I've heard it said before, there's nothing you can do about $100 million school. It is what it is, and let's get on with life. Now we've got a $5 or $6 million water line to nowhere. Going through Columbia, nothing we could do about it. It's going to happen. So, you know, it's that horse is out of the barn, and now Aqua, that horse is out of the barn.
Can we look at it in a different way? Can we look at it in a different way that we are making some moves and some steps? You know, we've sat here year after year.
You know, you're right, but it's the same as throwing $300 or whatever $1,000 at Fusdy. And it's 400 homes, I believe.
Yeah, 400.
400 homes that FUSD cannot pay for itself.
That's right.
So running and treating water off that pipeline from the James to 400 homes, well, it can't even pay for sewer treatment now. I mean, it's constantly losing money and we're feeding it every year. We don't own it. Now, let's make this clear. The county does not own it, but we're responsible. And to believe that that's a possible profit maker and pay for... But that is not going to pay for that water once you start treating it. It can't happen. And let's just being honest with the situation.
All right, but let's step back and take a global perspective on this. Who would have thought 4 years ago we would have been able to draw water out of the James River? That wasn't going to happen 4 years ago. Who would have thought 4 years ago we were even going to be able to open the high school? much less afford to pay for the
That's
debt
right.
service. Who would have thought 4 years ago? I mean, we've finally taken the jump. It's been, what, 55, 56 years? And we finally taken the jump to put treated water up at Zion's Crossroads. Along that stretch of 250 where we own both sides of it, it's all right-hand turns, it's prime development, we've already had people breathing down our neck to put stuff there. I mean, nobody would have thought that it was possible. The ability to keep our tax rate under the prior tax rate somewhere hovering between in the 60-cent range, rather than being at a fucking change before the reassessment. I mean, what our auditors told us, we should be through the roof on taxes right now. And we're not. We're actually quite competitive, as a matter of fact. Especially when you start comparing us to Albemarle County and Goochland. I mean, we're actually doing pretty darn well here. And there's room to grow in that front. It's been a constant cycle of 3 to 4 cent tax increases each and every single year. And that's not because of decisions we're making here. It's because of decisions being made in Richmond, and it's because of our lack of economic development. We've finally taken the steps, and yeah, they're tough votes. We've finally taken the steps to dig ourselves out of that hole. The first rule of getting out of a hole is to stop digging. The second rule is to buy a ladder. We did that. We bought the ladder. It'll be the responsibility of the next Board of Supervisors to go ahead and build on that or to flush it all down the drain.
You speak of the state, and that's one of my major concerns, is the, and stop me if I'm wrong, the better you do on the commercial end in revenue, the more the state takes from you on the other end. So it's for a time, for a period of time, that's a wash until you hit that commercial end large enough that you start gaining. Am I wrong?
The short version on the LCI, the better you do, the better you do.
Yeah.
I mean, the Commonwealth of Virginia, obviously,
they do take that
as well, but the better you're doing, the less they do. But at the end of the day, as a net sum, localities do better.
I agree with you, but we're looking at tax rate money coming out of your pocket for the next 5 to 10 years is constructing a pipeline. You know that $900,000 a year, that's costing you money while you wait for commercial development. So tonight we just approved a kennel right in that zone that everyone's talking about building a Home Depot or whatever. You know, it's right in the middle of it.
But here's the point.
It's so difficult.
Here's the point. You've got all sorts of outside pressures facing us. You know, 2 years ago we voted up the budget. We cut the schools $2.3 million because, you know, in my opinion, they included a ton of waste in there, and they didn't address that waste head on. So we forced them to meet that waste. They've done it. They have, in my opinion, at this rate, they've cut to the bone. They're about as lean as they're going to be. You know, they closed Columbia, they closed Cunningham, they cut that back on the early services or the early service program. They cut their vehicle fleet. They've done everything that we've asked them to do, and now they're scraping the bottom of the shoals. I mean, the boat's hitting the bottom. So they've cut about as much as they're going to cut. Now, that's just saying that there's not waste here and there, but in the big ticket items, they've accomplished everything that we've asked them to do. So there's no more money to squeeze out of public education. Our sheriff's department is already telling us we need another deputy. Rather than three, we need four full-time, right?
Right.
So we know that we're facing these problems. We know the county staff, we just had an example tonight where we were lucky that we're one deep in planning. We're not one deep in other areas. I mean, Mr. Stevens is a good example. Who would replace if Mr. Stevens got hit by a car tonight?
He'd bounce off.
Yeah, he'd bounce like Superman, because that's what happens. But we're not one deep everywhere else. So the question is that at some point in time, you know, it's that common thing in Fluvanna County. When they do it, it's bad. When we do it, it's okay. The process was followed. I'm very sincere in that. It was followed with the budget prior to. It was followed this evening. And some people win and some people lose in that, and we do have to move on, which is why I think your position is admirable this evening. Because the folks in this room, I think, instinctively know that we are not each other's enemy. Richmond is forcing us to make decisions we don't want to. Washington is forcing us to make decisions we don't want to. The fact that we aren't putting our best foot forward in economic development is forcing us to make decisions we don't want to as a community. And so until we learn in this room to point the guns out and to start making Fluvanna a great place to be, rather than convincing the rest of the world in the pages of the Fluvanna Review that we're horrible, And that we can't stand one another? She stopped typing. But we've got to point the guns out. The problems that we're facing are not problems we're creating for one another. They're being dumped on us. We're going to have a heck of a lot better chance if we work together to get out of them than if we keep beating each other over the head, because that clearly hasn't been helping the last 4 years. We need 4 years of stability, quite frankly. And the more that closer we can get to that and lash the boats together, the sooner we'll be out of the woods.
Yeah. In 2008, when we voted the high school in, also the water was up for that agreement. That was the memorandum of understanding that was put together in 2003. That came up. But when the economy fell, we didn't sign that agreement. So here we are, 2013. We're still, at least we made a decision. We have stepped forward. And I'm glad that we have stepped forward. And as you said, the new board, they're going to have whatever this is.
I'll tell you what, I look forward to being on the board for the next 4 years and the 4 years we have prior. This was a tough 4 years.
Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, there was one heck of a hole dug for us and left behind. The next board is going to have tools that we did not have. I mean, that's an accomplishment, guys. We should be very proud of that. The community ought to be proud of that. And they ought to know that when we get those new users on that aqua line, it is going to stabilize their rates. They're not going to be able to continue to turn back on them because there's nobody else to turn to. You know, the James River Water Authority will be there for the next 50 to 100 years. That's our lifeline, for crying out loud. A couple of signs in the town of Columbia, it's a place that, you know, literally, you know, what made Columbia a county, for crying out loud, being able to devote a little bit to our history. All of those things add up to good things. And no, it's not going to be easy in the short term, but, you know, if it was worth doing, if this place wasn't worth fighting for, it wouldn't be easy, you know. So we should not look back on the decision to put infrastructure for the future with any sort of disdain. I mean, think about it. I mean, 250 years ago, there was a guy in a canoe paddling the Ravana trying to do a water project himself. His name was Thomas Jefferson. And it literally was the bedrock that founded Columbia. That canal was what made Columbia a county. You know, having the economic development, having the infrastructure at Santa's Crossroads could help us to be that kind of county again. But we just have to have the wisdom and the perseverance to see it through and quit punching each other in the face and start tackling our problems as we ought to be as a community.
And I love the Food Banner Review. So, on that, I motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Motion made by Mr. Allenbrock, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.